Chapter 2 National Income Meaning and Measurement Page 11 Introduction National income is an uncertain term which is used interchangeably with national dividend, national output and national expenditure. On this basis, national income has been defined in a number of ways. In common parlance, national income means the total value of goods and services produced annually in a country. In other words, the total amount of income accruing to a country from economic activities in a year's time is known as national income. It includes payments made to all resources in the form of wages, interest, rent, and profits. Definitions of national income. The definitions of national income can be grouped into two classes. 1. The traditional definitions advanced by Marshall, Piggio and Fisher, and 2. Modern definitions. The Marshallian definition. According to Marshall, the labor and capital of a country, acting on its natural resources, produce annually a certain net aggregate of commodities, material, and immaterial, including services of all kinds. This is the true net national income or revenue of the country or national dividend. Note 1. A. Marshall, Principles of Economics, page 434. In this definition, the word net refers to deductions from the gross national income in respect of depreciation and wearing out of machines, and to this must be added income from abroad. Its defects. Though the definition advanced by Marshall is simple and comprehensive, yet it suffers from a number of limitations. Firstly, in the present day world, so varied and numerous are the goods and services produced that it is very difficult to have a correct estimation of them. Consequently, the national income cannot be calculated correctly. Second, there always exists the fear of the mistake of double counting, and hence the national income cannot be correctly estimated. Double counting means that a particular commodity or service, like raw material or labor, etc., might be included in the national income twice or more than twice. For example, a peasant sells wheat worth rupees 2000 to a flour mill, which sells wheat flour to the wholesaler, and the wholesaler sells it to the retailer, who in turn sells it to the customers. If each time this wheat or its flour is taken into consideration, it will work out to rupees 8000, whereas in actuality there is only an increase of rupees 2000 in the national income. Third, it is again not possible to have a correct estimation of national income because many of the commodities produced are not marketed, and the producer either keeps the produce for self-consumption or exchanges it for other commodities. It generally happens in an agriculture-oriented country like India. Thus, the volume of national income is underestimated. The Piggiovian definition. A.C. Piggio has, in his definition of national income, included that income which can be measured in terms of money. In the words of Piggio, national income is that part of the objective income of the community, including, of course, income derived from abroad, which can be measured in money. Note 2. A.C. Piggio, The Economics of Welfare, page 31. Page 12. This definition is better than the Marshallian definition. It has proved to be more practical also. While calculating the national income nowadays, estimates are prepared in accordance with two criteria laid down in this definition. First, avoiding double counting. The goods and services which can be measured in money are included in national income. Second, income received on account of investment in foreign countries is included in national income. Its defects. The Piggiovian definition is precise, simple and practical, but it is not free from criticism. First, in the light of the definition put forth by Piggio, we have to unnecessarily differentiate between commodities which can and which cannot be exchanged for money. But in actuality, There is no difference in the fundamental forms of such commodities, no matter they can be exchanged for money. Second, according to this definition, when only such commodities as can be exchanged for money are included in the estimation of national income, the national income cannot be correctly measured. According to Pigeot, a woman's services as a nurse would be included in national income, but excluded when she worked in the home to look after her children, because she did not receive any salary for it. Similarly, Pigeot is of the view that if a man marries his lady secretary, the national income diminishes as he has no longer to pay for her services. Thus, the Pigeotian definition gives rise to a number of paradoxes. Third, the Pigeotian definition is applicable only to developed countries where goods and services are exchanged for money in the market. According to this definition, in the backward and underdeveloped countries of the world, where a major portion of the produce is simply bartered, correct estimate of national income will not be possible, because it will always work out less than the real level of income. Thus, the definition advanced by Pigeot has a limited scope. Fisher's definition. Fisher adopted consumption as the criteria of national income, whereas Marshall and Pigeot regarded it to be production. According to Fisher, the national dividend or income consists solely of services as received by ultimate consumers, whether from their material or from human environments. Thus, a piano or an overcoat made for me this year is not a part of this year's income, but an addition to the capital. Only the services rendered to me during this year by these things are income. Note 3. I. Fisher, The Nature of Capital and Income, page 104. Fisher's definition is considered to be better than that of Marshall or Pigeot because Fisher's definition provides an adequate concept of economic welfare, which is dependent on consumption, and consumption represents our standard of living. Its defects. But from the practical point of view, this definition is less useful because there are certain difficulties in measuring the goods and services in terms of money. First, it is more difficult to estimate the money value of net consumption than that of net production. In one country, there are several individuals who consume a particular good, and that too at different places, and therefore it is very difficult to estimate their total consumption in terms of money. Second, certain consumption goods are durable and last for many years. If we consider the example of piano or overcoat as given by Fisher, only the services rendered for use during 1 year by them will be included in income. If an overcoat costs rupees 100 and lasts for 10 years, Fisher will take it into account only rupees 100 as national income during 1 year, whereas Marshall and Pigeot would include rupees 100 in the national income for the year when it is made. Besides, it cannot be said with certainty that the overcoat will last only for 10 years. It may last longer or for a shorter period. Third, the durable goods generally keep changing hands, leading to a change in their ownership and value too. It therefore becomes difficult to measure in money the service value of these goods from the point of view of consumption. For instance, the owner of a Maruti car sells it at a price higher than its real price, and the purchaser, after using it for a number of years, further sells it at its actual price. Now the question is as to which of its price, whether actual or black market one, should we take into account, and afterwards, when it is transferred from one person to another, which of its value, according to its average age, should be included in national income? But the definitions advanced by Marshall, Pigeot and Fisher are not altogether flawless. However, the Marshall and Pigeotian definitions tell us of the reasons influencing economic welfare, whereas Fisher's definition helps us compare economic welfare in different years. Modern definitions. From the modern point of view, Simon Kuznets has defined national income as the net output of commodities and services flowing during the year from the country's productive system in the hands of the ultimate consumers. On the other hand, in one of the reports of United Nations, national income has been defined on the basis of the systems of estimating national income as net national product, as addition to the shares of different factors, and as net national expenditure in a country in a year's time. In practice, while estimating national income, any of these three definitions may be adopted, because the same national income would be derived if different items were correctly included in the estimate. Page 13. Concepts of national income. There are a number of concepts pertaining to national income and methods of measurement relating to them. Capital A. Gross Domestic Product, GDP. GDP is the total value of goods and services produced within the country during a year. This is calculated at market prices and is known as GDP at market prices. Dernburg defines GDP at market prices as the market value of the output of final goods and services produced in the domestic territory of a country during an accounting year. There are three different ways to measure GDP: product method, income method, and expenditure method. These three methods of calculating GDP yield the same results because national product is equal to national income is equal to national expenditure. 1. The product method. In this method, the value of all goods and services produced in different industries during the year is added up. This is also known as the value added method to GDP, or GDP at factor cost by industry of origin. The following items are included in India in this: agriculture and allied services, mining, manufacturing, construction, electricity, gas and water supply, transport, communication and trade, banking and insurance, real estate and ownership of dwellings and business services, and public administration and defense and other services or government services. In other words, it is the sum of gross value added. Note, for a detailed study of this method, refer to value added approach to GDP. 2. The income method. The people of a country who produce GDP during a year receive incomes from their work. Thus, GDP by income method is the sum of all factor incomes, wages and salaries, that is compensation of employees, plus rent, plus interest, plus profit. 3. Expenditure method. This method focuses on goods and services produced within the country during 1 year. GDP by expenditure method includes consumer expenditure on services and durable and non-durable goods, this is capital C, investment in fixed capital such as residential and non-residential building, machinery and inventories, this is capital I, government expenditure on final goods and services, capital G, export of goods and services produced by the people of the country, capital X, less imports, that is capital M, that part of consumption, investment and government expenditure which is spent on imports is subtracted from GDP. Similarly, any imported component such as raw materials which is used in the manufacture of export goods is also excluded. Thus, GDP by expenditure method at market prices is equal to capital C plus I plus G plus within bracket capital X minus capital M, where X minus M is net export, which can be positive or negative. Capital B, GDP at factor cost. GDP at factor cost is the sum of net value added by all producers within the country. Since the net value added gets distributed as income to the owners of factors of distribution, GDP is the sum of domestic factor incomes and fixed capital consumption or depreciation. Thus, GDP at factor cost is equal to net value added plus depreciation. GDP at factor cost includes compensation of employees, that is wages, salaries, etc. Operating surplus, which is the business profit of both incorporated and unincorporated firms. Operating surplus is equal to gross value added at factor cost minus compensation of employees minus depreciation. Mixed income of self-employed. Conceptually, GDP at factor cost and GDP at market price must be identical. This is because the factor cost, that is payments to factors, of producing goods must equal the final value of goods and services at market prices. However, the market value of goods and services is different from the earnings of the factors of production. In GDP at market price are included indirect taxes and are excluded subsidies by the government. Therefore, in order to arrive at GDP at factor cost, indirect taxes are subtracted and subsidies are added to GDP at market price. Thus, GDP at factor cost is equal to GDP at market price minus indirect taxes plus subsidies. Page 14. Capital C, Net Domestic Product, NDP. NDP is the value of net output of the economy during the year. Some of the country's capital equipment wears out or becomes obsolete each year during the production process. The value of this capital consumption is some percentage of gross investment, which is deducted from GDP. Thus, net domestic product is equal to GDP at factor cost minus depreciation. D. Nominal and real GDP. When GDP is measured on the basis of current price, it is called GDP at current prices or nominal GDP. On the other hand, when GDP is calculated on the basis of fixed prices in some year, it is called GDP at constant prices or real GDP. Nominal GDP is the value of goods and services produced in a year and measured in terms of rupees, that is money, at market or current prices. In comparing one year with another, we are faced with the problem that the rupee is not a stable measure of purchasing power. GDP may rise a great deal in a year, not because the economy has been growing rapidly, but because of rise in prices or inflation. On the contrary, GDP may increase as a result of fall in prices in a year, but actually it may be less as compared to the last year. In both cases, GDP does not show the real state of the economy. To rectify the underestimation and overestimation of GDP, we need to measure that adjusts for rising and falling prices. This can be done by measuring GDP at constant prices, which is called real GDP. To find out the real GDP, a base year is chosen when the general price level is normal. That is, it is neither too high nor too low. The prices are set to 100 or 1 in the base year. Now, the general price level of the year for which real GDP is to be calculated is related to the base year on the basis of the following formula, which is called the deflator index. So, real GDP is equal to GDP of the current year multiplied by base year, which is equal to 100, divided by current year index. Suppose 1990-91 is the base year and GDP for 1999 to 2000 is rupees 6 lakh crores and the price index for this year is 300. Thus, real GDP for 1999-2000 is equal to rupees 6 lakhs multiplied by 100 upon 300, which is equal to rupees 2 lakh crores. Capital E, GDP deflator. GDP deflator is an index of price changes of goods and services included in GDP. It's a price index which is calculated by dividing the normal GDP in a given year by the real GDP for the same year and multiplying it by 100. Thus, GDP deflator is equal to nominal or current prices GDP divided by real or constant prices GDP, the whole multiplied by 100. For example, GDP deflator in 1997-98 is equal to 1426.9 7,000 crores divided by 1049.2,000 crores, the whole multiplied by 100, which is equal to 135.9 at 1993-94 prices. It shows that at constant prices, 1993-94 GDP in 1997-98 increased by 135.9% due to inflation or rise in prices from rupees 1049.2 thousand crores in 1993-94 to rupees 1426.7 thousand crores in 1997-98. Capital F, Gross National Product, GNP. GNP is the total measure of the flow of goods and services at market value resulting from current production during a year in a country, including net income from abroad. GNP includes four types of final goods and services. 1. Consumers' goods and services to satisfy the immediate wants of the people. 2. Gross private domestic investment in capital goods consisting of fixed capital formation, residential construction and inventories of finished and unfinished goods. 3. Goods and services produced by the government. And 4. Net exports of goods and services, that is, the difference between value of exports and imports of goods and services, known as net income from abroad. In this concept of GNP, there are certain factors that have to be taken into consideration. First, GNP is the measure of money in which all kinds of goods and services produced in a country during 1 year are measured in terms of money at current prices and then added together. But in this manner, due to an increase or decrease in the prices, the GNP shows a rise or decline which may not be real. To guard against erring on this account, a particular year, say for instance 1990-91, when prices be normal, is taken as the base year and the GNP is adjusted in accordance with the index number for that year. This will be known as GNP at 1990-91 prices or at constant prices. Page 15. Second, in estimating GNP of the economy, the market price of only the final products should be taken into account. Many of the products pass through a number of stages before they are ultimately purchased by consumers. If those products were counted at every stage, they would be included many a time in the national product. Consequently, the GNP would increase too much. To avoid double counting, therefore, only the final products and not the intermediary goods should be taken into account. Third, goods and services rendered free of charge are not included in the GNP because it is not possible to have a correct estimate of their market price. For example, the bringing up of a child by the mother, imparting instructions to his son by a teacher, recitals to his friends by a musician, etc. Fourth, the transactions which do not arise from the produce of current year or which do not contribute in any way to production are not included in the GNP. The sale and purchase of old goods and of shares, bonds and assets of existing companies are not included in GNP because these do not make any addition to the national product and the goods are simply transferred. Fifth, the payments received under Social Security, for example, unemployment insurance allowance, old age pension and interest on public loans are also not included in GNP because the recipients do not provide any service in lieu of them. But the depreciation of machines, plants and other capital goods is not deducted from GNP. Sixth, the profits earned or losses incurred on account of changes in capital assets as a result of fluctuations in market prices are not included in the GNP if they are not responsible for current production or economic activity. For example, if the price of a house or a piece of land increases due to inflation, the profit earned by selling it will not be part of GNP. But if during the current year, a portion of a house is constructed anew, the increase in the value of the house, after subtracting the cost of the newly constructed portion, will be included in the GNP. Similarly, variations in the value of assets that can be ascertained beforehand and are insured against flood or fire are not included in the GNP. Last, the income earned through illegal activities is not included in the GNP. Although the goods sold in the black market are priced and fulfill the needs of the people, but as they are not useful from the social point of view, the income received from their sale and purchase is always excluded from the GNP. There are two main reasons for this. One, it is not known whether these things were produced during the current year or the preceding years. And two, many of these goods are foreign made and smuggled and hence not included in the GNP. Three approaches to GNP. After having studied the fundamental constituents of GNP, it is essential to know how it is estimated. Three approaches are employed for this purpose. 1. The income method to GNP. 2. The expenditure method to GNP. And 3. The value added method to GNP. Since gross income equals gross expenditure, GNP estimated by all these methods would be the same with appropriate adjustments. 1. Income method to GNP. The income method to GNP consists of the remuneration paid in terms of money to the factors of production annually in a country. Thus, GNP is the sum total of the following items. Small 1. Wages and salaries. Under this head are included all forms of wages and salaries earned through productive activities by workers and entrepreneurs. It includes all sums received or deposited during a year by way of all types of contributions like overtime, commission, provident fund, insurance, etc. Small 2. Rents. Total rent includes the rent of land, shop, house, factory, etc., and the estimated rents of all such assets as are used by the owners themselves. Small 3. Interest. Under interest comes the income by way of interest received by the individual of a country from different sources. To this is added the estimated interest on that private capital which is invested and not borrowed by the businessman in his personal business. But the interest received on governmental loans has to be excluded because it is mere transfer of national income. 4. Dividends. Dividends earned by the shareholders from companies are included in the GNP. 5. Undistributed corporate profits. Profits which are not distributed by companies and are retained by them are included in the GNP. 6. Mixed incomes. These include profits of unincorporated business, self-employed persons and partnerships. They form part of GNP. 7. Direct taxes. Taxes levied on individuals, corporations and other businesses are included in the GNP. 8. Indirect taxes. The government levies a number of indirect taxes like excise duties and sales tax. These taxes are included in the price of commodities, but revenue from these goes to the government treasury and not to the factors of production. Therefore, the income due to such taxes is added to the GNP. Page 16. 9. Depreciation. Every corporation makes allowance for expenditure on wearing out and depreciation of machines, plants, and other capital equipment. Since this sum also is not a part of the income received by the factors of production, it is therefore also included in the GNP. 10. Net income earned from abroad. This is the difference between the value of exports of goods and services and the value of imports of goods and services. If this difference is positive, it is added to the GNP, and if it is negative, it is deducted from the GNP. Thus, GNP, according to the income method, is equal to wages plus salaries, plus rents, plus interests, plus dividends, plus undistributed corporate profits, plus mixed income, plus direct taxes plus indirect taxes plus depreciation plus net income from abroad. 2. Expenditure method to GNP. From the expenditure viewpoint, GNP is the sum total of expenditure incurred on goods and services during 1 year in a country. It includes the following items. Small 1. Private consumption expenditure. It includes all types of expenditure on personal consumption by the individuals of a country. It comprises expenses on durable goods like watch, bicycle, radio, etc. Expenditure on single-used consumer goods like milk, bread, ghee, clothes, etc. As also the expenditure incurred on services of all kinds like fees for school, doctor, lawyer and transport. All these are taken as final goods. Small 2. Gross domestic private investment. Under this comes the expenditure incurred by private enterprise on new investment and on replacement of old capital. It includes expenditure on house construction, factory buildings, all types of machinery, plants and capital equipment. In particular, the increase or decrease in inventory is added to or subtracted from it. The inventory includes produced but unsold manufactured and semi-manufactured goods during the year and the stocks of raw materials, which have to be accounted for in the GNP. It does not take into account the financial exchange of shares and stocks because their sale and purchase is not real investment, but depreciation is added. Small 3. Net foreign investment. It means the difference between exports and imports or export surplus. Every country exports to or imports from certain foreign countries. The imported goods are not produced within the country and hence cannot be included in national income, but the exported goods are manufactured within the country. Therefore, the difference of value between exports, capital X, and imports, capital M, whether positive or negative, is included in the GNP. Small 4. Government expenditure on goods and services. The expenditure incurred by the government on goods and services is a part of the GNP. Central, state or local governments spend a lot on their employees, police and army. To run the offices, governments have also to spend on contingencies which include paper, pen, pencil and various types of stationery, cloth, furniture, cars, etc. It also includes the expenditure on government enterprises. But expenditure on transfer payments is not added because these payments are not made in exchange for goods and services produced during the current year. Thus, GNP, according to the expenditure method, is equal to private consumption expenditure, capital C, plus gross domestic private investment, capital I, plus net foreign investment, that is X minus M, plus government expenditure on goods and services, capital G, which is equal to C plus I plus within bracket X minus M plus G. As already pointed out above, GNP estimated by either the income or the expenditure method would work out to be the same if all the items are correctly calculated. 3. Value-added method to GNP. Another method of measuring GNP is by value-added method. In calculating GNP, the money value of final goods and services produced at current prices during a year is taken into account. This is one of the ways to avoid double counting. But it is difficult to distinguish properly between a final product and an intermediate product. For instance, raw materials, semi-finished goods, fuels and services, etc. are sold as inputs by one industry to the other. They may be final goods for one industry and intermediate for others. So, to avoid duplication, the value of intermediate products used in manufacturing final products must be subtracted from the value of the total output of each industry in the economy. Thus, the difference between the value of material outputs and inputs at each stage of production is called the value added. If all such differences are added up for all industries in the economy, we arrive at the GNP by value added. GNP by value added is equal to gross value added plus net income from abroad. Its calculation are shown in tables 1, 2 and 3, which will be on the next page. Page 17. So I will first describe the three tables. Table 1, GDP by value added. All rupees are in crores. So we have four columns. The first is industry. Second is total output. Third, intermediate purchases. And fourth is value added. And 4 is equal to 2 minus 3. The entries in the table are as follows. Industry, first agriculture, total output 30, intermediate purchases 10, value added is 20. Second industry is manufacturing, total output 70, intermediate purchases 45, value added is 25. Industry third is others, total output 55, intermediate purchases 25, value added is 30. So the total we have, total output 155, intermediate purchases is 80, value added is 75. Table 2, value added at factor cost. Again, rupees is in crores. 1. Market value of output 155. 2. Less cost of intermediate goods is 80. 3. Gross value added is 75. 4. Less depreciation, which is 8. 5. Net value added or domestic product at market prices is 67. 6. Less indirect taxes is 7. So 7. Net value added at factor cost is 60. Table 3. Gross domestic product. Rupees in crores. 1. Wages and salaries 45. Income from rent 3. Net interest 4. Profit of companies 8. So net value added or NDP 60. Indirect taxes plus 7. Depreciation plus 8. Gross value added or GDP is 75. Therefore, net income from abroad plus 5. So, gross national income is 80. Going back to the text. Table 1 is constructed on the supposition that the entire economy for purposes of total production consists of three sectors. They are agriculture, manufacturing and others, consisting of the tertiary sector. Out of the value of total output of each sector is deducted the value of its intermediate purchases or primary inputs to arrive at the value added for the entire economy. Thus, the value of the total output of the entire economy as per table 1 is rupees 155 crores and the value of its primary inputs comes to rupees 80 crores. Thus, the GDP by value added is rupees 75 crores. That is rupees 155 minus rupees 80 crores. The total value added equals the value of the gross domestic product of the economy. Out of this value added, the major portion goes in the form of wages and salaries, rent, interest and profits. A small portion goes to the government as indirect taxes and the remaining amount is meant for depreciation. This is shown in table 3. Thus, we find that the total gross value added of an economy equals the value of its gross domestic product. If depreciation is deducted from the gross value added, we have net value added, which comes to rupees 67 crores, that is rupees 75 minus rupees 8 crores. This is nothing but net domestic product at market prices. Again, if indirect taxes, that is rupees 7 crores, are deducted from the net domestic product of rupees 67 crores, we get rupees 60 crores as the net value added at cost factor, which is equivalent to net domestic product at cost factor. This is illustrated in Table 2. Net value added at cost factor is equal to the net domestic product at cost factor as given by the total of items 1 to 4 of Table 2. That is rupees 45 plus 3 plus 4 plus 8 crores, which is equal to rupees 60 crores. By adding indirect taxes, that is rupees 7 crores, and depreciation, rupees 8 crores, we get gross value added or GDP, which comes to rupees 75 crores. If we add net income received from abroad to the gross value added, this gives us gross national income. Suppose net income from abroad is rupees 5 crores, then the gross national income is rupees 80 crores. That is rupees 75 crores plus rupees 5 crores as shown in Table 3. Its importance. The value-added method for measuring national income is more realistic than the product and income methods because it avoids the problem of double counting by excluding the value of intermediate products. Thus, this method establishes the importance of intermediate products in the national economy. Second, by studying the national income accounts relating to value added, the contribution of each production sector to the value of the GNP can be found out. Page 18. For instance, it can tell us whether agriculture is contributing more, or the share of manufacturing is falling, or of the tertiary sector is increasing in the current year as compared to some previous years. Third, this method is highly useful because it provides a means of checking the GNP estimates obtained by summing the various types of commodity purchases. Its difficulties. However, difficulties arise in the calculation of value added in the case of certain public services like police, military, health, education, etc., which cannot be estimated accurately in money terms. Similarly, it is difficult to estimate the contribution made to value added by profits earned on irrigation and power projects. Capital G, GNP at market prices. When we multiply the total output produced in 1 year by the market prices prevalent during that year in a country, we get the gross national product at market prices. Thus, GNP at market prices means the gross value of final goods and services produced annually in a country plus net income from abroad. It includes the gross value of output of all items from 1 to 4 mentioned under GNP. GNP at market prices equal to GDP at market price plus net income from abroad. Capital H, GNP at factor cost. GNP at factor cost is the sum of the money value of the income produced by and accruing to the various factors of production in 1 year in a country. It includes all items mentioned above under income method to GNP less indirect taxes. GNP at market prices always includes indirect taxes levied by the government on goods which raise their prices. But GNP at factor cost is the income which the factors of production receive in return for their services alone. It is the cost of production. Thus, GNP at market prices is always higher than the GNP at factor cost. Therefore, in order to arrive at GNP at factor cost, we deduct indirect taxes from GNP at market prices. Again, it often happens that the cost of production of a commodity to the producer is higher than a price of a similar commodity in the market. In order to protect such producers, the government helps them by granting monetary help in the form of a subsidy equal to the difference between the market price and the cost of production of the commodity. As a result, the price of the commodity to the producer is reduced and equals the market price of similar commodity. For example, if the market price of rice is rupees 3 per kg, but it costs the producer in certain areas rupees 3.50, the government gives a subsidy of 50 paise per kg to them in order to meet their cost of production. Thus, in order to arrive at GNP at factor cost, subsidies are added to GNP at market prices. So GNP at factor cost is equal to GNP at market prices minus indirect taxes plus subsidies. Capital I, net national product, NNP. NNP includes the value of total output of consumption goods and investment goods. But the process of production uses up a certain amount of fixed capital. Some fixed equipment wears out. Its other components are damaged or destroyed, and still others are rendered obsolete through technological changes. All this process is termed depreciation or capital consumption allowance. In order to arrive at NNP, we deduct depreciation from GNP. The word net refers to the exclusion of that part of total output which represents depreciation. So NNP is equal to GNP minus depreciation. Capital J, NNP at market prices. The net national product at market prices is the net value of final goods and services evaluated at market prices in the course of 1 year in a country. If we deduct depreciation from GNP at market prices, we get NNP at market prices. So, NNP at market prices is equal to GNP at market prices minus depreciation. Capital K, NNP at factor cost. Net national product at factor cost is the net output evaluated at factor prices. It includes income earned by factors of production through participation in the production process, such as wages and salaries, rents, profits, etc. It is also called the national income. This measure differs from NNP at market prices in that indirect taxes are deducted and subsidies are added to NNP at market prices in order to arrive at NNP at factor cost. Note 4. In the relation between NNP at market prices and at factor cost, these items should be explained in detail as given under GNP at factor cost. Thus, NNP at factor cost is equal to NNP at market prices minus indirect taxes plus subsidies, which is equal to GNP at market prices minus depreciation minus indirect taxes plus subsidies, which is equal to national income. Normally, NNP at market prices is higher than NNP at factor cost because indirect taxes exceed government subsidies. However, NNP at market prices can be less than NNP at factor cost when government subsidies exceed indirect taxes. Page 19. Capital L, domestic income. Income generated or earned by factors of production within the country from its own resources is called domestic income or domestic product. Domestic income includes 1. Wages and salaries, 2. Rents, including imputed house rents, 3. Interests, 4. Dividends, 5. Undistributed corporate profits, including surpluses of public undertakings, 6. Mixed incomes consisting of profits of unincorporated firms, self-employed persons, partnerships, etc., and 7. Direct taxes. Since domestic income does not include income earned from abroad, it can also be shown as domestic income is equal to national income minus net income earned from abroad. Thus, the difference between domestic income and national income is the net income earned from abroad. If we add net income from abroad to domestic income, we get national income. That is, national income is equal to domestic income plus net income earned from abroad. But the net national income earned from abroad may be positive or negative. If exports exceed imports, net income earned from abroad is positive. In this case, national income is greater than domestic income. On the other hand, when imports exceed exports, net income earned from abroad is negative and domestic income is greater than national income. Note 5. Domestic income may be net or gross. If not particularly stated, it refers to net domestic product at factor cost and can be distinguished from net domestic product at market price as in capital K above. Capital M, private income. Private income is income obtained by private individuals from any source, productive or otherwise, and the retained income of corporations. It can be arrived at from NNP at factor cost by making certain additions and deductions. The additions include transfer payments such as pensions, unemployment allowances, sickness and other social security benefits, gifts and remittances from abroad, windfall gains from lotteries or from horse racing, and interest on public debt. The deductions include income from government departments as well as surpluses from public undertakings, and employees' contribution to social security schemes like provident funds, life insurance, etc. Thus, private income is equal to national income, or NNP at factor cost, plus transfer payments, plus interest on public debt, minus social security, minus profits and surpluses of public undertakings. Capital N, personal income. Personal income is the total income received by the individuals of a country from all sources before payment of direct taxes in 1 year. Personal income is never equal to the national income because the former includes the transfer payments, whereas they are not included in national income. Personal income is derived from national income by deducting undistributed corporate profits, profit taxes, and employees' contributions to social security schemes. These three components are excluded from national income because they do not reach individuals. But business and government transfer payments and transfer payments from abroad in the form of gifts and remittances, windfall gains, and interest on public debt, which are a source of income for individuals, are added to national income. Thus, personal income is equal to national income minus undistributed corporate profits, minus profit taxes, minus social security contribution, plus transfer payments, plus interest on public debt. Personal income differs from private income in that it is less than the latter because it excludes undistributed corporate profits. Thus, personal income is equal to private income minus undistributed corporate profits minus profit taxes. Capital O, disposable income. Disposable income or personal disposable income means the actual income which can be spent on consumption by individuals and families. The whole of the personal income cannot be spent on consumption because it is the income that accrues before direct taxes have actually been paid. Therefore, in order to obtain disposable income, direct taxes are deducted from personal income. Thus, disposable income is equal to personal income minus direct taxes. Page 20. But the whole of disposable income is not spent on consumption and a part of it is saved. Therefore, disposable income is divided into consumption expenditure and savings. Thus, disposable income is equal to consumption income plus savings. If disposable income is to be deducted from national income, we deduct indirect taxes plus subsidies, direct taxes on personal and on business, social security payments, undistributed corporate profits or business savings from it, and add transfer payments and net income from abroad to it. Thus, disposable income is equal to national income minus business savings minus indirect taxes plus subsidies, minus direct taxes on persons, minus direct taxes on business, minus social security payments, plus transfer payments, plus net income from abroad. Capital P, real income. Real income is national income expressed in terms of a general level of prices of a particular year taken as base. National income is the value of goods and services produced as expressed in terms of money at particular prices, but it does not indicate the real state of the economy. It is possible that the net national product of goods and services this year might have been less than that of the last year, but owing to an increase in prices, NNP might be higher this year. On the contrary, it is also possible that NNP might have increased, but the price level might have fallen. As a result, national income would appear to be less than that of last year. In both the situations, the national income does not depict the real state of the country. To rectify such a mistake, the concept of real income has been evolved. In order to find out the real income of a country, a particular year is taken as the base year, when the general price level is neither too high nor too low, and the price level for that year is assumed to be 100. Now, the general level of prices of the given year for which the national income, that is real, is to be determined is assessed in accordance with the prices of the base year. For this purpose, the following formula is employed. Real NNP is equal to NNP for the current year multiplied by base year index, which is equal to 100, divided by current year index. Suppose 1990-91 is the base year and the national income for 1999-2000 is rupees 20,000 crores and the index number for this year is 250. Hence, real national income for 1999-2000 will be 20,000 multiplied by 100 upon 250, which is equal to rupees 8,000 crores. This is also known as the national income at constant prices. Capital Q, per capita income. The average income of the people of a country in a particular year is called per capita income for that year. This concept also refers to the measurement of income at current prices and at constant prices. For instance, in order to find out the per capita income for 2001 at current prices, the national income of a country is divided by the population of the country in that year. Per capita income for 2001 is equal to national income for 2001 divided by population in 2001. Similarly, for the purpose of arriving at the real per capita income, this very formula is used. Real per capita income for 2001 is equal to real national income for 2001 divided by population in 2001. This concept enables us to know the average income and the standard of living of the people. But it is not very reliable because in every country, due to unequal distribution of national income, a major portion of it goes to the richer sections of the society and thus income received by the common man is lower than the per capita income. Methods of measuring national income. There are four methods of measuring national income. Which method is to be used depends on the availability of data in a country and the purpose in hand. 1. Product method. According to this method, the total value of final goods and services produced in a country during a year is calculated at market prices. To find out the GNP, the data of all productive activities such as agricultural products, wood received from forests, minerals received from mines, commodities produced by industries, contributions to production made by transport, communications, insurance companies, lawyers, doctors, teachers, etc. are collected and assessed at market prices. Only the final goods and services are included and the intermediary goods and services are left out. Note 6. For details, refer to the first para of Gross National Product. Page 21. 2. Income method. According to this method, the net income payments received by all citizens of a country in a particular year are added up. That is, net incomes that accrue to all factors of production by way of net rents, net wages, net interest, and net profits are all added together. But incomes received in the form of transfer payments are not included in it. The data pertaining to income are obtained from different sources, for instance, from Income Tax Department in respect of high income groups and in case of workers from their wage bills. Note 7. For details, read Income Method to GNP and its items. 3. Expenditure Method. According to this method, the total expenditure incurred by the society in a particular year is added together and includes personal consumption expenditure, net domestic investment, government expenditure on goods and services, and net foreign investment. This concept is based on the assumption that national income equals national expenditure. Note 8. For details, read Expenditure Method to GNP and its items. 4. Value Added Method. Another method of measuring national income is the value added by industries. The difference between the value of material outputs and inputs at each stage of production is the value added. If all such differences are added up for all industries in the economy, we arrive at the gross domestic product. Note 9. For details, read GNP by value added. Difficulties or limitations in measuring national income. There are many conceptual and statistical problems involved in measuring national income by the income method, product method, and expenditure method. We discuss them separately in the light of the three methods. Capital A. Problems in income method. The following problems arise in the computation of national income by income method. 1. Owner-occupied houses. A person who rents a house to another earns rental income. But if he occupies the house himself, will the services of the house owner be included in national income? The services of the owner-occupied house are included in national income as if the owner sells to himself as a tenant its services. For the purpose of national income accounts, the amount of imputed rent is estimated as the sum for which the owner-occupied house could have been rented. The imputed net rent is calculated as that portion of the amount that would have accrued to the house owner after deducting all expenses. 2. Self-employed persons. Another problem arises with regard to the income of self-employed persons. In their case, it is very difficult to find out the different inputs provided by the owner himself. He might be contributing his capital, land, labor, and his abilities in the business. But it is not possible to estimate the value of each factor input to production. So he gets a mixed income consisting of interest, rent, wage, and profits for his factor services. This is included in the national income. 3. Goods meant for self-consumption. In underdeveloped countries like India, farmers keep a large portion of food and other goods produced on the farm for self-consumption. The problem is whether that part of produce which is not sold in the market can be included in national income or not. If the farmer were to sell his entire produce in the market, he will have to buy what he needs for self-consumption out of his money income. If instead he keeps some produce for his self-consumption, it has money value which must be included in national income. 4. Wages and salaries paid in kind. Another problem arises with regards to wages and salaries paid in kind to the employees in the form of free food, lodging, dress, and other amenities. Payments in kind by employers are included in national income. This is because the employees would have received money income equal to the value of free food, lodging, etc. from the employer and spent the same in paying for food, lodging, etc. Capital B. Problems in product method. The following problems arise in the computation of national income by product method. 1. Services of housewives. The estimation of unpaid services of the housewife in the national income presents a serious difficulty. A housewife renders a number of useful services like preparation of meals, serving, tailoring, mending, washing, cleaning, bringing up children, etc. She is not paid for them and her services are not included in national income. Such services performed by paid servants are included in national income. Page 22. The national income is therefore underestimated by excluding the services of a housewife. The reason for exclusion of her services from the national income is that the love and affection of a housewife in performing her domestic work cannot be measured in monetary terms. That is why, when the owner of a firm marries his lady secretary, her services are not included in national income when she stops working as a secretary and becomes a housewife. When a teacher teaches his own children, his work is also not included in the national income. Similarly, there are a number of goods and services which are difficult to be assessed in money terms for the reasons stated above, such as painting, singing, dancing, etc., as hobbies. 2. Intermediate and final goods. The greatest difficulty in estimating national income by product method is the failure to distinguish properly between intermediate and final goods. There is always the possibility of including a good or service more than once, whereas only final goods are included in national income estimates. This leads to the problem of double counting, which leads to the overestimation of national income. 3. Second-hand goods and assets. Another problem arises with regards to the sale and purchase of second-hand goods and assets. We find that old scooters, cars, houses, machinery, etc. are transacted daily in the country, but they are not included in the national income because they were counted in the national product in the year they were manufactured. If they are included every time they are bought and sold, national income would increase many times. Similarly, the sale and purchase of old stocks, shares and bonds of companies are not included in national income because they were included in national income when the companies were started for the first time. Now, they are simply financial transactions and represent claims. But the commission or fees charged by the brokers in the repurchase and resale of old shares, bonds, houses, cars or scooters, etc., are included in national income. For these are the payments they receive for their productive services during the year. 4. Illegal activities. Income earned through illegal activities like gambling, smuggling, illicit extraction of wine, etc., is not included in the national income. Such activities have value and satisfy the wants of people, but they are not considered productive from the point of view of society. But in countries like Nepal and Monaco, where gambling is legalized, it is included in national income. Similarly, horse racing is a legal activity in England and it is included in the national income. 5. Consumer service. There are a number of persons in society who render services to consumers, but they do not produce anything tangible. They are actors, dancers, doctors, singers, teachers, musicians, lawyers, barbers, etc. The problem arises about the inclusion of their services in national income since they do not produce tangible commodities. But as they satisfy human wants and receive payments for their services are included as final goods in estimating national income. 6. Capital gains. The problem also arises with regard to capital gains. Capital gains arise when a capital asset such as a house, some other property, stock or shares, etc. is sold at a higher price than was paid for it at the time of purchase. Capital gains are excluded from national income because they do not arise from current economic activities. Similarly, capital losses are not taken into account while estimating national income. 7. Inventory changes. All inventory changes or changes in stocks, whether positive or negative, are included in national income. The procedure is to take changes in physical units of inventories for the year valued at average current prices paid for them. The value of changes in inventories may be positive or negative, which is added or subtracted from the current production of the firm. Remember, it is a change in inventories and not total inventories for the year that are taken into account in national income estimates. 8. Depreciation. Depreciation is deducted from GNP in order to arrive at NNP. Thus, depreciation lowers the national income. But the problem is of estimating the current depreciated value of, say, a machine whose expected life is supposed to be 30 years. Firms calculate the depreciation value on the original cost of machines for their expected life. This does not solve the problem, because the prices of machines change almost every year. 9. Price changes. National income by product method is measured by the value of final goods and services at current market prices. But prices do not remain stable. They rise or fall. When the price levels rises, the national income also rises, though the national production might have fallen. On the contrary, with the fall in the price level, the national income level also falls, though the national production might have increased. So price changes do not adequately measure national income. To solve this problem, economists calculate the real national income at a constant price level by the Consumer Price Index. Page 23. C. Problems in expenditure method. The following problems arise in the calculation of national income by expenditure method. 1. Government services. In calculating national income by expenditure method, the problem of estimating a government services arises. Government provides a number of services such as police and military services, administrative and legal services. Should expenditure on government service be included in national income? If they are final goods, then only they would be included in national income. On the other hand, if they are used as intermediate goods meant for further production, they would not be included in national income. There are many divergent views on this issue. One view is that if police, military, legal and administrative services protect the lives, property and liberty of the people, they are treated as final goods and hence form part of national income. If they help in the smooth functioning of the production process by maintaining peace and security, then they are like intermediate goods that do not enter into national income. In reality, it is not possible to make a clear demarcation as to which service protects the people and which protects the productive process. Therefore, all such services are regarded as final goods and are included in national income. 2. Transfer payments. There arises the problem of including transfer payments in national income. Government makes payments in the form of pensions, unemployment allowance, subsidies, interest on national debt, etc. These are government expenditures, but they are not included in national income because they are paid without adding anything to the production process during the current year. For instance, pensions and unemployment allowances are paid to individuals by the government without doing any productive work during the year. Subsidies tend to lower the market price of the commodities. Interest on national or public debt is also considered a transfer payment because it is paid by the government to individuals and firms on their past savings without any productive work. 3. Durable use consumers' goods. Durable use consumers' goods also pose a problem. Such durable use consumer goods are scooters, cars, fans, TV, furniture, etc. are bought in 1 year, but they are used for a number of years. Should they be included under investment expenditure or consumption expenditure in national income estimates? The expenditure on them is regarded as final consumption expenditure because it is not possible to measure their used-up value for the subsequent years. But there is one exception. The expenditure on a new house is regarded as investment expenditure and not consumption expenditure. This is because the rental income or the imputed rent which the house owner gets is for making investment on the new house. However, expenditure on a car by a household is consumption expenditure. But if he spends the amount for using it as a taxi, it is investment expenditure. 4. Public expenditure. Government spends on police, military, administrative and legal services, parks, street lighting, irrigation, museums, education, public health, roads, canals, buildings, etc. The problem is to find out which expenditure is consumption expenditure and which is investment expenditure. Expenses on education, museum, public health, police, parks, street lighting, civil and judicial administration are consumption expenditure. Expenses on roads, canals, buildings, etc. are investment expenditure. But expenses on defense equipment are treated as consumption expenditure because they are consumed during a war as they are destroyed or become obsolete. However, all such expenses, including the salaries of armed personnel, are included in national income. Importance of national income analysis. The national income data have the following importance. 1. For the economy. National income data are of great importance for the economy of a country. These days, the national income data are regarded as accounts of the economy, which are known as social accounts. These refer to net national income and net national expenditure, which ultimately equal each other. Social accounts tell us how the aggregates of a nation's income, output, and product result from the income of different individuals, products of industries, and transactions of international trade. Their main constituents are interrelated, and each particular account can be used to verify the correctness of any other account. 2. National policies. National income data form the basis of national policies such as employment policy, because these figures enable us to know the direction in which the industrial output, investment and savings, etc. change, and proper measures can be adopted to bring the economy to the right path. 3. Economic planning. In the present age of planning, the national data are of great importance. For economic planning, it is essential that the data pertaining to a country's gross income, output, saving and consumption from different sources should be available. Without these, planning is not possible. 4. Economic models. The economists propound short-run as well as long-run economic models or long-run investment models in which the national income data are very widely used. Page 24. 5. Research. The national income data are also made use of by the research scholars of economics. They make use of the various data of the country's input, output, income, saving, consumption, investment, employment, etc., which are obtained from social accounts. 6. Per capita income. National income data are significant for a country's per capita income, which reflects the economic welfare of the country. The higher the per capita income, the higher the economic welfare of the country. 7. Distribution of income. National income statistics enable us to know about the distribution of income in the country. From the data pertaining to wages, rent, interest and profits, we learn of the disparities in the incomes of different sections of the society. Similarly, the regional distribution of income is revealed. It is only on the basis of these that the government can adopt measures to remove the inequalities in income distribution and to restore regional equilibrium. With a view to removing these personal and regional disequilibria, the decisions to levy more taxes and increase public expenditure also rest on national income statistics. Interrelationships among different concepts of national income. The interrelationships among the various concepts of national income can be shown in the form of equations as under. 1. Gross national product, GNP, is equal to gross national expenditure, GNE. 2. Gross domestic product, GDP, is equal to GNP minus net income from abroad. 3. GNP at market prices is equal to GNP at factor cost plus indirect taxes minus subsidies. 4. NNP at market prices is equal to GNP at market price minus depreciation or capital consumption allowance. 5. Net domestic product NDP at market price is equal to NNP at market price minus net factor income from abroad. 6. NNP at factor cost or national income or national product is equal to NNP at market prices minus indirect taxes plus subsidies. 7. NDP at factor cost or domestic income or domestic product is equal to national income minus net factor income from abroad. 8. Private income is equal to NNP at factor cost plus government and business transfer payments plus current transfers from abroad in the form of gifts and remittances plus windfall gains plus net factor income from abroad plus interest on public debt and consumer interest minus social security contribution minus income from government departments and property minus profits and surpluses of public corporations or undertakings, or it is equal to income from domestic product accruing to private sector plus interest on public department plus net factor income from abroad plus transfer payments plus current transfers from the rest of the world or abroad. 9. Income from domestic product accruing to private sector is equal to domestic product accruing to government departments minus saving of non-departmental enterprises. 10. Personal income, it is equal to private income minus saving of private corporate sector or undistributed corporate profits minus corporation tax or profit taxes. 11. Personal disposable income or disposable income is equal to personal income minus direct taxes paid by households or direct personal taxes and miscellaneous fees, fines, etc. Or it is equal to NDP at factor cost plus transfer payments plus net factor income from abroad minus corporation tax minus undistributed corporate profits minus social security payments minus direct personal taxes. Or it is also equal to national income at factor cost plus transfer payments plus net income from abroad minus corporate tax minus undistributed corporate profits minus social security payments minus direct personal taxes minus indirect taxes plus subsidies. Page 25. Some solved problems. 1. From the data pertaining to Indian economy given below, calculate A. GNP at factor cost, B. NNP at factor cost, C. Net domestic product at factor cost, and D. Net domestic product at market prices. Data given is 1. GNP at market prices is 97,503 crore rupees. 2. Net factor income from abroad is -201. 3. Capital consumption allowance is 5,699. And 4. Net indirect taxes is 10,576. All rupees are in crores. Solution. A. GNP at market price is equal to 97,503. So GNP at factor cost is equal to GNP at market price minus indirect taxes, which is 97,503 minus 10,576, which is 86,927. B. NNP at factor cost is equal to GNP at factor cost minus depreciation, which is 86,927 minus 5,699, which is 81,228. C. NDP at factor cost is equal to NNP at factor cost minus net factor income from abroad. D. NDP at market prices is equal to NDP at factor cost plus indirect taxes, which is 81,429 plus 10,576, which is equal to 92,005. Question 2. On the basis of the following information relating to the Indian economy, estimate A. GNP at market prices, B. Private income, C. Personal income, and D. Personal disposable income. Data given is 1. Net domestic product at factor cost is 81,429. 2. Income from domestic product accruing to the government sector 2,333. 3. Net factor income from abroad minus 201. 4. Indirect taxes 12,876. 5. Subsidies 2,300. 6. Interest on national debt 964. 7. Transfers from government administrative departments 1,981. 8. Other current transfers from the rest of the world 1,271. 9. Corporation tax 1,251. 10. Undistributed corporate profits 464. 11. Direct taxes paid by households 2,100. And 12. Consumption of fixed capital 5,699. Solution. A. GNP at market price is equal to net domestic product at factor cost plus net factor income from abroad plus capital consumption allowance or consumption of fixed capital plus indirect taxes minus subsidies, which is equal to 81,429 plus minus 201 plus 5,699 plus 12,876 minus 2,300, which is equal to 97,503. B. Private income is equal to NNP at factor cost or NI plus transfer payments plus interest on public debt minus social security contributions minus income from government departments minus profits and surpluses of public corporations. Page 26. First, calculate NNP at factor cost, because NDP at factor cost is given in the illustration. So NNP at factor cost is equal to NDP at factor cost plus net factor income from abroad, which is equal to 81,429 plus minus 201, which is 81,228. Now, private income is equal to 81,228 plus 1981 plus 1271 plus 964 minus 2,333, which is equal to 83,111. Where transfer payments from government administrative departments is equal to 1981, other current transfers from the rest of the world is equal to 1271, interest on national debt is equal to 964, income from government departments is equal to 2,333. The remaining items in the equation are not given in our example. Note, items 7 and 8 relate to transfer payments. C. Personal income is equal to private income minus undistributed corporate profit or savings of private corporate sector minus corporation tax, which is equal to 83,111 minus 464 minus 1251, which is equal to 81,396. D. Personal disposable income is equal to personal income minus direct taxes paid by households, which is equal to 81,396 minus 2,100, which is equal to 79,296. 3. On the basis of the following information, calculate net national product at market prices and disposable personal income. Information given, rupees is in crores. 1. Net domestic product at factor cost is equal to 15,480. 2. Income from domestic product accruing to government is 140. 3. National debt interest 170. 4. Transfer payments by government 240. 5. Net private donations from abroad 30. 6. Net earned income from abroad 80. 7. Indirect taxes 1,330. 8. Direct taxes 335. 9. Subsidies 100. 10. Taxes on corporate profits 222. 11. Undistributed profits of corporations 105. Solution. First, calculate NNP at factor cost because NDP at factor cost is given in the illustration. So we have NDP at factor cost is equal to 15,480 plus net earned income from abroad equal to 80. Therefore, NNP at factor cost is equal to 15,560. Now, NNP at market prices. So, NNP at factor cost plus indirect taxes, which is 15,560 plus 1,330 minus subsidies, which is 100, is equal to 16,719. This is NNP at market prices. To calculate disposable personal income, we have to calculate private income and personal income. Private income, NNP at factor cost is equal to 15,560 plus transfer payments by government, which is equal to 240, plus net private donations from abroad. These are transfers from the rest of the world, which is equal to 30, plus national debt interest, which is equal to 170, minus income from domestic product accruing to government, which is minus 140. Therefore, private income is equal to 15,860. Page 27. So, personal income is equal to private income, that is 15,860, minus taxes on corporate profits, which is minus 222, minus undistributed profits of corporations, which is minus 105. So, personal income is equal to 15,533. Disposable personal income. So, private income, which is 15,533 minus direct taxes on persons, is minus 335. So, disposable personal income is equal to 15,198. Exercises. Question 1. Explain the various concepts of national income. Under what circumstances national income tends to be underestimated? 2. Point out the difference between the following concepts of national income and also their relationship with each other. A. Gross national product and net national product. B. National income at market prices and national income at factor costs. C. Net national product and net domestic product. D. Disposable income and personal income. Question 3. Examine the usefulness of the concept of national income in analyzing an economy's aggregate behavior. 4. Explain the product and expenditure methods of computing national income. On what basis do they give identical results? 5. What are the main conceptual problems involved in the estimation of GNP? How can they be overcome? And 6. Explain the value-added method of measuring national income. With this, we come to the end of Chapter 2.